Yeah, it's Julian Lennon there and Too Late for Goodbye. On the line now, I have Cormac Louth, and he's the Irish Maritime Archaeological Society, from the Irish Maritime Archaeological Society. Good morning, Cormac. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Now, this sounds like a fascinating lecture tonight. It's on in the Clontarf Yacht and Boat Club. It doesn't give a time. What time is it starting at?
That's correct, yeah. It's on in Clontarf Yacht Club, and it starts at 8 o'clock, and my understanding is that it's open to the public. All are welcome. And the title of the talk is The Sailing Trawlers of Ringsend.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, I find about reading some of the pieces from it, is that the boat building that was done along the Dodder, can you tell me a little bit about that? And it goes back to the 1800s.
The sailing trawling in Ringsend started throughout the whole of the 19th century, from about 1819 onwards up till about 1919. And for 100 years, there was a large fleet of sailing trawlers based in Ringsend. Now, they didn't originate there. The first of them came from Brixham in Devon at the request of a fishing company that was got up public to exploit the rich fishing grounds off the east coast of Ireland. And initially, about 8 trawlers were bought up and brought over with their crews from Brixham. And over the next 100 years, a great many more trawlers were either brought over from Brixham or they were built on the banks of the Dodder. And the Brixham men stayed after the company folded up, and they largely intermarried with the local people in Ringsend. And indeed today, the name base in Ringsend reflects a lot of that Devon connection. There are names like Pullen, Rackley, Memory, Elliot, all of which originated in Brixham. And very soon, a great many of the local fishermen began to emulate the type of trawlers and the type of trawling that was done. It was a much more efficient method of fishing than what had gone before. And many of the vessels that came later that weren't bought in Brixham or Dartmouth were actually built on the banks of the Dodder in many of the boatyards that existed along there. The last of them actually only went about 1950. Morphy's Boatyard was the last of those.
Really? It's fascinating. I recognise some of the names you mentioned there from Ringsend, like Pullen and that. I recognise a few of those names. And
yeah, there's still quite a good lot of the descendants around. And there's a great awareness because there was an interchange of people and boats that took place between Devon and Ringsend over that 100 years. And indeed, some people retain that connection with Devon to the present day.
Mm-hmm.
They have relations that come back and forth.
Okay. And the trawlers, were they all shapes and sizes, different types of boats?
Basically, they were all much the same. Over the period of 100 years, the type of vessel and the type of trawling that begun in 1818 changed very little over the 100 years. The first of the vessels that arrived were about 40 tons, and they were gaff-rigged, crewed by 3 men and a boy, and they had a single mast cutter rig. The later ones, as they grew a bit bigger, became catch rig. That was to say, they had 2 masts on them. But the method of trawling and the general shape of the vessels and configuration of them remained exactly the same over the 100 years. And what brought about the demise of it was 2 things. First of all, the First World War intervened, and a lot of the people who would have gone on to man the sailing trawlers gravitated into the Royal Navy and went away to fight in the First War, and indeed many of them never came back. Also, you had the intrusion of, first of all, steam trawling, which drew a lot of the people away and was much more efficient method of fishing. And then you also had, later on, you had motorised trawling.
Okay.
So the last of the sailing trawlers disappeared from view in 1990. The whole thing had begun.
Yeah. Sorry, your phone's getting a little bit noisy. It's grand now, though. It's grand now.
Yeah.
And is there any remnants of them at all around?
No, there are some left in Britain. The sail trawling continued on in Britain for about another 20 years or so. The last of them fishing up to about the time of the outbreak of the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, there were quite a lot of these fishing boats sunk during the First World War. There weren't any Irish ones sunk, as far as I know, but there was a lot of them sunk in Britain during the First World War, and they continued on sailing and trawling under sail up to about 1939, after which any of the ones that remained were simply bought up and converted into yachts. And I think in Brixham alone, there are about 6 vessels left, and they're used as yachts and charter vessels.
Okay.
Some more were sold off to Scandinavia, and they continue to do, a lot of them rebuilt, continue to do that sort of charter work and sailing.
And were they easy to...
But there's no remnants of them at all left now.
Okay.
In Ringsend.
Okay. Were they easy to transform into yachts?
Basically, I suppose, yeah, they were very big and roomy. They were very seaworthy. That was the whole thing about the vessels that came over from Brixham, over and above the type of boats that were on the east coast of Ireland generally. They were decked in, and they were much more seaworthy. They could keep the seas in much more arduous conditions than the local boats could, mm-hmm. which were mostly open boats and had much bigger crews. So they were more efficient, easier to sail, perhaps with the gaff rig over and above lug rig, which was the common rig in most of the local vessels. And they had smaller crews. Equally, they had mechanical devices on board. They had hand winches mm-hmm. with which to haul up the big heavy beam trawl and the nets, which you didn't have on the local boats. And they were simply more efficient, and that's why they became the predominant type of fishing boat on the east coast of Ireland. They spread out from Brixham in the early 19th century to various other ports yes. throughout the British Isles as well, because it proved to be the most efficient form of fishing.
Okay. When you're going around doing the lectures, now, for instance, tonight, do you find an awful lot of people are ignorant of the fact of of this thriving industry in and around the
yeah,
area?
It's an era that has sort of been more or less has disappeared from view. It was never greatly recorded. There are sort of great gaps in the whole history. It's a whole slice of the maritime history of Dublin and Dublin Bay that has virtually disappeared and has never been fully recorded. And that's my objective now in trying to do that, trying to drag it all under the one roof, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've done a huge amount of research in naming the vessels and finding out the names of the crews. As late as 1901, in the census, I trawled through that, no pun intended, for names that were fishermen in Ringsend. And I have about four full pages of names that, okay. of people that were still involved in fishing in Ringsend in 1901. Equally, there were a huge amount of ancillary industries involved in the fishing. You had netting, you had boat building, mm-hmm. some of the smacks being built, and the small boats that went with them were built. You had net making, rope making, sail making, all of these industries existed in Ringsend to back up the fishery. And none of that has been recorded. Now, you'll find mention of them in the Thomas Directories and so forth. By the same token, it has largely escaped the attentions of photographers. It wasn't something that was extensively photographed, unlike some of our counterparts in Britain, which were extensively photographed in places like Whitby. There are very, very few photographs in existence of the fleet of sail trawlers. And bearing in mind that there were, at its height, there were probably about 70 sail trawlers in Ringsend, all moored up along by where the Coolbeg Yacht Club moorings are now along the Pigeon House Road. And it wasn't a subject for photography, funny enough, in Dublin. It was a favourite subject for various artists also.
Mm-hmm. So you have some illustrations.
I have lists of artists who found the sailing trawlers a favourite subject, and it would be lovely to see all of those paintings put together, but unfortunately most of them would be in private collections now.
Okay. But you have some illustrations there, but no pictures. Is there any pictures that could come from England that would be, you know, nearly...
Oh, yeah. I have a huge amount of photographs of the similar type of vessels in Brixham and in other ports around the British Isles. But I've gathered up what photographs there are available. And I had a very lucky find through the good offices of one of our best marine historians, Mr. Hal Sisk, has a collection of glass slides. Belonged to what's called the Haffield Collection. Haffield was a yachtsman mm-hmm. who lived in Kingstown, or Dunleary, as it is now. And he was a photographer as well as a yachtsman. And the sailing smacks, which use Kingstown Harbour sometimes, are featured in a lot of those. And Hal kindly lent me some of those images for the purpose of the lecture. So I have some very, very rare images to show. And it should be of great interest to anyone with an interest in sailing, particularly gaff rig sailing.
Okay, you're in the Clontarf Yacht and Boat Club tonight.
Clontarf Yacht and Boat Club, and as I understand, I said it's open to all.
Oh, yeah. And where
so
else?
Come along and come early to be sure of a seat.
Yeah. Where else will you be going with any of this?
Well, I originally put the talk together to give in the Poolbeg Yacht Club. And I've given it in a number of other venues since then. I was simply asked to repeat the talk.
Mm-hmm.
But it always seems to attract quite a good crowd. On the night I gave it in the Poolbeg Yacht Club, the place was packed to capacity. Of course, there are a great many descendants, as I said, of the trawler men still living around there, and it attracted the attention of those. And indeed, many of them are still involved with boating and sailing and fishing and rowing in Ringsend. And it's great to see that tradition being maintained.
Yeah, it's funny when you, if you're in Ringsend at all and people talking about their ancestors, it's mostly about the docks and being dockers. Never any mention of this at all. It's strange.
Yeah, well, now, you'll hear a lot of them talking about their ancestors coming from Tor Bay. Now, Tor Bay in Devon is where Brixham is located.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say you come from Tor Bay, you'd have to qualify that by saying you were either from Paignton or Dartmouth. But generally speaking, when they say they're from Tor Bay, it means Brixham.
Okay.
That's where the fishing industry and the major boat building centres were located.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, Cormac, your phone's getting a bit noisy again. It's got a bit noisy. Okay.
I was saying a great many of the vessels were built in Dartmouth also, but Dartmouth is like what Irish Town is to Ringsend. It's just the other side of the coin.
Okay. Oh, it sounds like a fascinating lecture. And you had something you wanted to say about the Lusitania that...
I was asked to give a lecture on the Lusitania. It's a little outside the scope of what I normally research and speak about in my lecture programs, because it has been well written about, but it proved to be a fascinating subject when I started to research it. And it was a very popular subject when I gave the talk. I first gave it to a bunch of school kids in Drumcondra at the request of a teacher friend of mine. And they were absolutely fascinated by it, and I was fascinated by their interest that they had in it. Apparently they have it on their school curriculum, the First World War, and I was subsequently then asked to repeat it a couple of times.
Okay. Well, okay, maybe I'll get you on again and we can talk about that as well. But
Ring any time you like.
Okay. Clontarf Yacht and Boat Club tonight. 8 o'clock is the time.
8 o'clock, yeah.
Okay.
Come early.
Fascinating.
Come early to be sure of a seat.
Okay. Thanks very much, Cormac.
All right. Lovely talking to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.